Welcome to the fifth episode of Upskill with EdTech, a production of SkillRise, an initiative of ISTE, the International Society for Technology and Education. Upskill with EdTech explores how digital tools can be used to accelerate innovation in teaching and learning, to support career advancement and lifelong learning for workers and job seekers. Today we explore the world of automation. It's already a huge part of our lives. We use self-check kiosks at the store, and algorithms know our habits, offering us choices on platforms like Amazon or YouTube. For many, the idea of automation can bring up conflicting emotions. There's the fear of robots taking all our jobs. That's often mixed in with the excitement and potential for new opportunities, jobs and careers we can't even imagine yet. This is not new. Throughout history, societies and cultures have seen technological shifts that brought upheaval and disruption, as well as many benefits. But today, something different is happening. The pace of these changes is faster than we've ever experienced. A pace so fast, it can feel confusing and overwhelming. What do these advances mean for workers? Just how many jobs will change or even be eliminated? And which sectors and careers are most at risk? What skills are needed most as more and more jobs change or are even completely automated? The good news is, while machines can do a lot, there are fundamentally human traits, traits like empathy and creativity, that machines just can't do as well. So with all this change, how can workers today access the education and training to gain the skills needed most? How is traditional education being affected, and how are companies playing a more central role in helping workers obtain those skills? We'll explore all these topics and more. I'm your host, Stephen Yedzinski.
Automation is already affecting the world of work, and as new technologies start to kick in, the impact it will be even more substantial.
Daryl West spends his days exploring the upsides and downsides of technology. He's the director of the Brookings Center for Technology Innovation. He's also the author of The Future of Work, Robots, AI, and Automation.
And there certainly is the possibility of substantial job losses. I particularly worry the most about entry-level jobs. So the retail clerks, truck driving, taxi drivers, ride-sharing services, I think these are among the types of jobs that are going to be hit very hard.
West says we're already moving towards driverless cars. Amazon is opening retail stores with no human clerks, and robots are becoming more and more common and less expensive. Artificial intelligence is gaining ground in so many industries. Anything that involves routine tasks is potentially subject to automation.
So, for example, radiologists represent an area, you know, it's a very high-skill type of thing, you know, reading x-rays and CAT scans. But it turns out that AI software can learn how to read x-rays with a fair degree of accuracy.
There are several forces driving these rapid shifts. West says one reason is the pace of change.
What's unusual about this time period is just the sheer number of different technologies that are coming in. When you look historically, oftentimes new technologies came in one at a time. Now they're coming in 10, 15, or 20 at a time. And so it's really the cumulative impact of all these things that people have to worry about.
It's not only that tech's accelerating. Business cycles are also speeding up. The two are working hand in hand. The faster tech goes, the faster business goes. That's having huge influence over how companies and organizations think about developing talent. John Kaplan, former chief learning officer at Discover and founder of Corvantis Consulting, has made a career around talent development programs that meet the pace of business today.
I mean, when I was at Discover, I think probably 5 years ago, it was a four-month cycle time to actually create a new campaign, a new advertising campaign. And when I left, it was probably 3 or 4 weeks. You just see how fast everything is moving. And I think more and more people are starting to scratch their heads and say, wait a minute, maybe something here is fundamentally different. And I think that speed of operation has created just very, very different needs for your talent development. And I think the more business leaders start seeing how those trends in the economy are changing operations inside a company, the more they're seeing strategic talent development as being a critical business need.
But Kaplan says most companies have a hard time thinking about the future of work. They're often focused on their competition and their growth objectives and understanding what they need in terms of talent 12, 18, 60 months from now. That's a huge challenge today.
And that is probably the biggest impediment towards a nimble approach for education in the corporate sector.
He says companies often do not include learning and development components in their overarching strategic plans. And education and talent advancement tends to support shorter-term needs and discrete business initiatives.
And it becomes very reactive. So as the head of learning, oftentimes you will have the businesses driving a lot of the learning agenda because they'll say, hey, I've got to hire 140 advanced analytics professionals. I'm going to need help doing this. As opposed to where is the business going? Let's start building advanced analytics as a component to our talent development program 2 or 3 years in advance.
Kaplan says companies looking to develop effective and strategic talent development initiatives should focus on 3 main components.
I think the first thing that leaders in the L&D area or leaders focused on upskilling can do is to help start building the case. I did a study with the Lumina Foundation around the ROI of tuition reimbursement programs, and that was a really great study. I know a lot of leaders use that to help make the case. I think there's just, if you look at the 2019 CEO surveys that are out from the big consulting companies, I mean, there's a lot of information right now that's out about how work is changing, the importance of upskilling, and the ROI of upskilling programs. And so I think leaders should find that material and start making the case with executives.
Quality program development aligned to business objectives is also essential.
Number 2 is I think there's an opportunity to paint the picture of what a good upskilling program looks like. And most companies that implement big upskilling programs are so proud of those upskilling programs that what they do is they publicize everything about them. This is exactly what we did at Discover. We put a lot of the information about the program in the public domain. You know, our PR department was an enormous help in getting the information out. But if you look at the other big companies that have done great upskilling programs, you look at Walmart, look at Disney, look at McDonald's. Those are companies that have invested a lot in their upskilling programs. And I think leaders can just go to those websites, find the information on their upskilling programs, and start to socialize it within your company. So executives in your company have an understanding of what a really good upskilling program looks like.
Oftentimes, simply getting a new pilot underway is the most important piece to launching these programs.
The third thing that I think leaders can do is they can just start a pilot. One of the challenges of launching a big program is that it seems so massive when you think about where you want to end up. But oftentimes we don't know where we want to end up or we know where we think we want to end up, but we're not 100% certain. But we know where we are now. And what I always advise people to do is start small. Just take 20 people in a business line where you have some advocacy and get them enrolled in a local college that has a strong upskilling bent to their business program and see how it works.
Daryl West says what's important to remember is that corporations are always looking to find efficiencies and competitive advantage, and automation is increasingly where employers are looking to cut costs.
What people need to be worrying about is the combination of the rapid acceleration of technology innovation on the one hand, but the changes in business models that create greater economic insecurity. And it's that combination that creates the problem.
But the future is not a dystopia. There will also be many new jobs created, West says, in things like coding and data science, and in areas we can't even imagine yet. The question is, will there be a mismatch between the skills people currently have and the skills required for those new jobs? Certainly skills in the STEM fields, science, technology, engineering, and math will be in demand, he says, but that's not all.
People also need to focus on the soft skills, collaboration, teamwork, communications. Like, all those things are going to be really important as we move forward. But I also think people need to think about life skills because we're entering a period of great change and people are going to have to develop skills of adjusting to change. Charles Darwin had an insight when he was writing about evolution where he noted that survival is not based on being the strongest or even the most intelligent, but the most adaptable. The people who are going to do well will be those who are adaptable and resilient in the face of a lot of change. Both of those things will be critically important.
This new reality will require a shift in thinking for both workers and employers. John Kaplan says one of the biggest challenges for companies looking to upskill their workers is figuring out what their talent needs will be 3 years in the future, given the rapid pace of change. Some industries can do that fairly well. In others, it's less clear how job roles will shift.
And in those cases, you probably can't do big reskilling efforts because you don't know what jobs they're going to move into. And the best you probably can do is with upskilling initiatives that are really around transferable skills like problem solving, innovative thought, critical thinking. I mean, there are these big baskets of skills that we know will make people more effective in whatever job role they take. And it's a way of thinking about future-proofing someone's job skills by helping them learn a set of transferable skills that are going to be effective no matter where they go in the future.
Michelle Weiss is Senior Vice President for Workforce Strategies at Strata Education Network and their Chief Innovation Officer of the Strata Institute for the Future of Work. The Institute issued a report in 2018 that found the most valuable workers in the future will need a mix of abilities.
Actually, there's no such thing as kind of this distinction between hard and soft skills. It's not just that STEM skills will win the day and liberal arts skills are useless. It really is a both-and equation that in order to best prepare for the future of work, we are seeing this need to straddle both sides.
But Weiss says students these days are shifting more towards majors with very clear career paths, rather than humanities or liberal arts. This is despite the need for what her group calls human skills in the future, things like empathy and systems thinking.
If we know those are needed for the future of work, what does it mean if we're seeing fewer people moving in that direction? Because they're clearly getting a different message that going into a more career-oriented major is the best path forward. So we do have to think about this because as we think about the kinds of skills that are in demand for the future, like systems thinking or emotional intelligence and empathy and, you know, we need people who can exhibit judgment in those highly ambiguous circumstances of the future. How do we teach those skills more deliberately if folks are not pursuing some of those liberal arts majors?
The Strata Education Network has surveyed thousands of workers and found career-focused technical education provides great value. But over time, workers and learners also need upskilling or reskilling in some of those uniquely human skill areas. Weiss says employers can help fill that gap.
They've retreated so much over the last few decades from training new hires. And I think there is an opportunity to rethink on-the-job training so that it's not so much about compliance training, but really helping learners or their workforce skill up into jobs that they can anticipate are already unfilled or will be unfilled soon.
John Kaplan says corporations have more agile learning environments that can adapt more quickly to what workers need.
So I'm not really worried about lifelong learning. I think people are actually much more adept learners today than they were 20 years ago. But I am worried about whether or not the career paths that are existing, that exist in the future, are going to support a natural learning and natural way of preparing people for next level jobs. So if you think about the way people used to prepare for jobs, there was some formal learning, but most of what prepared them for the next level job was job experiences in their current job. So say, for example, you got a job stacking shelves in a grocery department. There was an opportunity to get some experience with customer service, just talking to customers, you know, who are walking the aisles while you were stacking shelves, to prepare you to take a cash register job. And once you got a cash register job, there was enough experience to prepare you for a manager level job. But what happens if that career pathway is destroyed by automation? What happens in a world where there are no cashiers? So you have people stacking the shelves who can get a little bit of customer experience, but they can't really move into jobs where they get a lot more to prepare them to be a manager. And so I worry about these career pathways, about the opportunity to get authentic learning from a job experience that actually prepare you for the next level job. In fact, my big worry is that as automation wipes out various jobs, these career pathways start to fall apart, and it makes it very difficult to use work experience to prepare you for each successive job role.
Daryl West says adapting to the future successfully means thinking now about how we as a society will meet the challenges change brings.
The thing that I like to tell audiences is either utopia or dystopia is not predetermined by the technology. The crucial factor is the public policy response, that it's perfectly with our means as a society to handle all these new technologies and even the workforce ramifications that are associated with them, but we're going to need new types of policies.
John Kaplan says as corporations evolve, they'll have a self-interest in upskilling and reskilling their workers, as well as supporting new policies that support worker advancement.
So my personal view is that there is a corporate responsibility to invest in your workers. However, irrespective of whether or not that's widely held or whether or not companies believe they have a responsibility to invest in their frontline workers through learning programs, they have self-interest and they have the need for self-preservation. The challenge of the future is going to be there will be many more high-skilled jobs available and many fewer lower-skilled jobs available.
Corporate programs will likely enhance traditional systems, being positioned to support lifelong learning opportunities for workers and new employees.
And as a result, I actually am much more hopeful that corporations become a wellspring for education in the future. In coming out of the Great Depression, we relied on public education to do a lot of what was needed to prepare people for jobs of the future then. My hope is that corporations can take on the lion's share of this work.
We'd like to thank our guest today, as well as our executive producer, Megan Kamrick. We'd also like to thank the amazing production team at ISTE, including Chief Learning Officer Joseph South, Joan Lee, Brandon Olszewski, and Umber Zuberi. ISTE inspires educators worldwide to use technology to innovate teaching and learning, accelerate good practice, and solve tough problems in education by providing community, knowledge, and the ISTE standards a framework for rethinking education and empowering learners. For more information on ISTE's work on technology for upskilling, please visit www.skillrise.org.